I'm coming to you from the western end of Jerusalem with part two of our message, as today we're going to deal with prayers that will bring deliverance to your children. Now, last week on the Manifest Telecast, I spent some time sharing with you about the type of spirits that we're dealing with and how to deal with the spirits. But let me talk to you about prayer. When you are praying for someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a different level of warfare and a different level of prayer. There's three things that I have learned over 41, almost 42 years of ministry when I have dealt with individuals who have unsaved family members and also situations in our own family. And that is, I have learned, number one, that you have to pray in faith. The Bible talks about the prayer of faith saving the sick in James chapter 5, but there is also a prayer of faith that the Bible says that you have to believe the things that you're saying when you pray in order to receive them. That's the very first foundational spiritual principle. You have to have faith when you're praying. So therefore, as we talk about prayer today for your unsaved children, remember, don't counter what you're praying. Don't pray, oh, thank you, Lord, you're going to save my kids. Then you sit down with your neighbor and say, well, I just tell you what, I'm praying for them and nothing's happening. Because what you're doing is you're aborting your breakthrough. You're hindering the prayer itself from being answered. The second thing I want to share with you, and I've written this down, is that you at times must pray with a prayer burden. Now, a prayer burden is a weight that you receive, and it's a heaviness in your heart and spirit, and you just can't shake it unless you go to God in prayer. So when you are burdened for a member of your family or a child, please remember this. Always remember to pray, especially when you feel the burden. You may actually be praying for their life to be spared from a premature death. You may be praying for them to receive a breakthrough, and they could be in danger as far as their health. Perhaps they have an addiction to drugs or something, and they could actually be in physical danger. I know several times when our son was battling for 9 years, Pam and I both would just go under a heavy burden for him, and we would pray for him, believing that God would touch him. And the third thing you have to understand is, as you are releasing your faith, and as you're praying with that burden, it will feel like a battle going on, because there is a battle going on. It's a battle for eternity. It's not just the battle to get your child in church or get your child to be touched by the Spirit of God. It is a battle for eternity. So I want you to remember the three things. You have to pray in faith. It's best to pray when there's a heavy burden. Never miss your prayer burden. And the third thing is, remember, you're in a warfare. You're standing in the gap between eternity and that particular individual. Now, one of the things I want you to do, I want you to go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. And I want you to get a card, and I want you to write Acts 16, 31. I'll tell you what that verse says in a moment. And I want you to put it like over your bathroom mirror and also over your refrigerator, because you'll see it first thing in the morning and you'll see it at night when you go in there to get that last drink of milk or whatever it is out of the refrigerator. And I want to tell you what that verse means in just a moment. Now, the story is that Paul and Silas were placed in a prison. And they had them, their feet were in stocks where they couldn't move. They had been beaten. And all of a sudden, as they began to sing praises to God, God sent an earthquake. And when God sent the earthquake, the Bible says that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And all the chains came off, all the fetters were broken, and the prison doors came off their hinges, which was a miracle itself. So this was a major earthquake. Now, there was a jailer there that day that was watching over the prisoners. And the fact is, he being in a Roman prison, being a Roman, Gentile Roman, if the prisoners are caught missing, it means he's going to die. So he is terribly afraid. And Paul screamed out and said, "Sir, don't be afraid, for we are all here." And when Paul began to talk to this jailer, he said, "God has set me free." He gave his testimony, and the jailer invited Paul to go over to his home. Paul preached to everybody in the man's house. And this is the word that Paul gave to this man. I love this verse. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house." So the man's entire house was converted to the Lord after this earthquake took place. Now, there's another verse of scripture in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, who was a Gentile, an Italian Gentile, he is he actually became connected with a vision by an angel of God with the Apostle Peter, who came and preached to his home. So here's a Jewish man, an apostle, who's preaching in a Gentile's home, which was unheard of back at that time. And all of a sudden, the Bible said, as Peter yet spake the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. And those who were with the circumcision, that means the Jews who came with Peter, were astonished, because also on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I love this, that the entire house, if you'll go to Acts 10 and you'll read verse 45, it says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them that heard the word of the Lord. So the amazing thing is that you have household salvation and you have household infilling. I was preaching at one of our conferences, and the Holy Spirit really spoke to me to announce to the people, household infillings are coming. In other words, those of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you've got a mom, dad, uncle, grandma, granddad, or siblings who think you're crazy for believing in the Spirit of God, God's going to send entire household infillings. We've seen this in some of our regional meetings, where on Sunday night we have our great Holy Spirit rallies, and we'll see 100 to 300 people come to the altar, and sometimes it'll be entire families, and the Lord will pull an Acts 10 on them and baptize all of them in the Holy Spirit. So you need to believe. This is prayer part number one. Prayer part number one is to believe God for, number one, entire household salvation, Acts 16:31, and believe for entire household infillings, Acts chapter 10, verse 45. I remember that Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I don't read where he ever interviewed his kids to say, do y'all agree with me on this? Or he interviewed the relatives to say, now I'm going to make this statement, do you mind? He was the head of the house, and he declared, for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. So this is something that you need to do. You need to lay hold of family salvation and family infilling, and you need to begin to say, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Many times, I really believe this, that people do not see their kids saved because they're always talking down. Well, I tell you, Jimmy's in trouble again. Well, I tell you, the police arrested him. Well, he deserves it. And what you're saying with your mouth is not lining up with what you're saying you desire God to do. And as a result of that, the enemy can legally say to the Lord, you can't touch their family. Listen to how they're talking. They don't really believe that you're going to be able to do it. And that's a whole message right there in itself on the Revelation 12, the accuser of the brethren, Satan. But the point I want to make is, and I don't want you to miss this, is you've got to claim household salvation. You've got to claim family salvation. It's got to be something involving the entire family. Now, the second thing that I want to say is this. You have to pray for a Kingdom Connection friend. Now, here's the reason I say that. Most people are one to the Lord through a family member or through a very close friend. It's very rare. Now, years ago, you used to be able to knock on people's doors and witness, and a lot of neighborhoods have stopped that now for different reasons. But most people, if you ask them who won you, they will say, well, it was my brother, my mom, my dad, my aunt, my uncle. And so remember this, that a Kingdom Connection is someone that God connects another person to in order to show them the truth and show them the way of salvation. If you have a husband, for example, that's not saved, what you should be praying as a wife is you should say, Lord, I'm asking you that at work to bring in someone, maybe it's a new worker, maybe it's someone that's there who is a great believer, that my husband will befriend and he can take him on a fishing trip, or they can go hunting together and he can witness to my husband because he's sure not listening to me. So that's what you do. If it's a young person, we begin to pray for our son again, and I'm not just trying to use him for an example, but when I say to you that I know what some of you are going through, I know what some of you are going through with your family, all right? We went through that with our son who had a 9-year addiction. And I remember, and this is very important for you to hear this, but I remember that we began to pray, God, give him somebody that will love him unconditionally that can help win him. And he met a young girl at the church, and she stuck with him through all the addictions, through all the thick and the thin, and they later got married, and she's been a great help to him, and she helped bring him, I think, to the understanding of not just the love that she had for him, but just so many other things. But she was the Kingdom Connection we had been praying for. So, you know, you should not be waiting till your kids get engaged to somebody and say, you know what, I don't like the dude. You should be praying now. I'm talking about when they're very young and asking God to send the right person into their life so that when that person comes, you can say, that's the person we've been praying for. So remember this. pray for entire family salvation and household infilling. That's point one. The second prayer you pray is for a kingdom connection, that God will connect them to the right people, right place, right time. Now, the third point that I have made here, and I want to give you verses on this, is you have to pray that God will awaken their spirit, because most kids who are away from God are spiritually dead but physically alive. Now, you want them physically alive, but you want them spiritually alive. Now, in Ephesians 5:14, it says, "Awaken thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Romans 13:11 says this, "It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Again, that's Romans 13:11. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says it this way, "Awaken to righteousness and not to sin, as some have not the knowledge of God." Now, the reason we say that is because if you read what the Apostle Paul said, there is the eyes of your understanding that needs to be open. I have natural eyes and I can see olive trees. I'm in the city of Jerusalem. I can see an ancient tomb. I can look this way and see the walls of the city. But I need my eyes of understanding open. So you have to pray that their spiritual eyes of understanding will be open to where they can see the truth. You see, once people see the truth and know the truth and acknowledge the truth, that's how they come to know the Lord. All right, we have ears. All of us have natural ears, but we also have the ears of the Spirit. I can hear, and you probably can't hear this, there's all these crows that are flying for some reason all around me. There goes one right there. Look at it. You might probably got him in the shot. There he goes. He's going to take a landing right to my left, okay? But I'm hearing crows. I'm hearing tour buses. I'm hearing noises while I'm preaching that you may not be hearing because you're picking me up over this microphone. So I have natural ears, but I have to have ears of the Spirit to hear. One of the ways God speaks to me is early in the morning, I will actually hear the voice of the Lord coming out of a deep sleep, an audible voice. Seriously, I've had it happen 5-6 times. I've lost count now. I'd have to actually sit down and count each time it's happened. But every time I would hear an actual word from the Lord. So my point is that when you look at what we're saying with this passage, you have to pray that their spirit will be awakened. I never will forget Karen Wheaton, who is a very dear friend of mine. She's over the ramp in Hamilton, Ohio, great youth ministry. She came to my house and she knew that our son was struggling. And my son Jonathan never knew she did this. We never told him. But she went into the closet and she grabbed a pair of Jonathan's shoes and she started walking into his bedroom, walking out in that little lobby area where, sitting area, I should say, where he would, stay on the computer and do things. And she said, "Awaken his spirit, awaken his spirit. I command his spirit to come alive. I command his spirit to be awakened." Now, I've never heard anybody pray for the awakening of someone's spirit. But then I begin to read what Paul talked about, the eyes of your understanding be open. Jesus said, "He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." And I began to realize that the eyes or the mind of your understanding needed to be open. So what she was doing, she was saying, Jonathan's spirit is not receptive to the Word of God, but if his spirit wakens up, arise, O thou that sleepest. That's what the Scripture says. He's spiritually asleep. He's spiritually just dull. But if God will awaken his spirit, then he will be able to hear the Word and receive the Word and come to the knowledge of the Lord. And I have never forgot that. And I would go up there too and say, "Awaken his spirit, awaken his spirit, let his spirit become awake." And so that was the third thing that we prayed. Now, the fourth thing that we prayed was this, that any particular soul tie would be broken. Now, the word soul tie, you hear preachers talk about this all the time. It's not in the Bible, but in 1 Samuel 18:1, it talks about Jonathan and David's soul that was knit together. And so a soul tie is someone that connects to another person, but it's in a very, very negative manner. For example, a drug dealer connects to a person who wants to sell drugs. And so if your family member, because there's a real problem with drugs all over the place now, so if your family member is connected to a drug dealer, you've got to pray that that will be severed or tied. Now, the best way to pray is that that drug dealer will end up in jail somewhere where they're not going to be connected to that family member. Because a lot of men write me from prison and they say, "You know, I thank the Lord I went to prison. I hate being here, but because I went to prison, God saved me and I heard the gospel and I heard the truth." So a lot of times it takes people going into it's kind of like going into the pit, you might say, or the pig pen before they come to their senses and before they awaken, before they actually come to themselves, okay? So anyway, you got to pray for that. And number four, and I say number four, this may be number five, I'm losing track here, I think this may be number five, is you have to pray them under your hedge. Now listen to these verses I'm going to give you, they're going to come up on the screen. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I would not destroy it, but I found none. Now here it talks about being a gap filler. An intercessory prayer person. You hear people talk about, I'm an intercessor and I pray. An intercessory prayer person is someone who, the best way for me to describe it would be as Aaron did in the Old Testament when there was a plague in Israel. He took a censer and the Bible says he stood between the living and between the dead, which was a picture of Christ stretching out his hands on the cross. And the plague was stayed because he stood between the living and the dead. So he became an intercessor or a gap filler. And so one of the things I've learned is this, and I want you to bear with me for a moment. I'm going to tell this on worldwide television. My wife may not appreciate me telling this on worldwide television, but when our son was struggling the way he was, my wife and I had two total different opinions of what we should do. She became frustrated. She said, you know, he's 19, 20 years of age. We just need to tell him to get his own place and make it on his own. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you take your son with an addiction and you move him outside of the hedge of your house, you're opening him up to the snakes and the wolves who will devour him, and he'll die prematurely. And I told my wife, I said, I'm overriding you on this one. We always agree, but I'm overriding you on this one because the Lord's telling me that he's not mature enough and he's under such a bondage that if he comes out from under our hedge, the enemy is going to take his life. And what do I mean by that? In Job chapter 1, if you'll read the Bible, it says that in Job, that Job had a hedge that was around him, and it was around his family, and it was around everything that he owned. And the enemy could not get in as long as the hedge was there. In other words, it was Job's hedge. But because of Job, and he had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters in Job chapter 1, because he had the children, then the enemy could not touch the children because they were under Job's hedge. And that was the verse the Lord gave me. And he said, keep your son at home, even though he's doing things you don't want him to do. You've rebuked him. You told him you disagree with it. Pray for him that he will, and keep him under your hedge so that the angels over your house and your hedge, that he'll be under that and not be away from it. And so we did that. We prayed that God would keep him under our hedge, that God would keep him protected. And of course, the breakthrough finally came. So the thing I want to share with you is that I believe that every believer has angels. We can call them guardian angels. We can call them protective angels. And those angels are a part of making up that hedge. Psalms 35 says the angel, or Psalms 34, I believe it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear God and will deliver them. And so your hedge is linked to the relationship that you have with God, the righteousness you have with God. And so what you do is you say, God, put them under my hedge. Now, when my father was living, he had a half-brother named Morgan. They had the same mother, but a different father. And Morgan had gotten away from God for over 40 years. And my dad, one day in Hickory, North Carolina, was in prayer, and he saw a vision of a coal truck in West Virginia that had hit a vehicle, and it decapitated the person that was in the passenger side. And when he came out from under the vision, the Lord said, that's going to be Morgan. He's going to die today. And so Dad tried to call Morgan on the phone and couldn't get him in at home in West Virginia. And so Dad began to pray. He prayed an hour and a half. And when he prayed, the Lord spoke to Dad. My dad would pray in tongues and he could interpret it. I mean, it was an amazing gift. And when he prayed and interpreted, the Lord said to him, he said, you're asking me to protect one or defend one that I cannot protect because they have willfully walked away from me and they have no hedge of protection. Well, Dad got very sorrowful and he began to pray for Morgan more intently. And the Lord spoke to my dad because in Northern Virginia, many years ago, my dad saw an angel of the Lord that was like a protector of his life and our family. And the Lord spoke to my dad and said, commission the angel that I've given you to go protect him, and I'll protect him from premature death. And so he prayed, and make a long story short, Morgan was driving his driver. He had a driver in a truck, and he felt like pulling off at a little restaurant, and there was a couple behind them, an elderly couple in a car, and they went right past him. And he went and got a Coca-Cola, I think it was, got back in, headed down the road, and a coal truck had hit that couple head on and decapitated the woman who was on the other side. Now, I'm not going to get into the issue of why did the Lord allow that to happen. I want to get into the issue of Dad prayed, and prayer is what saved his brother's life, was that intercession and that prayer. So you need to pray for the unsafe person to come underneath your hedge and come underneath your protective hedge. And I would say number six is change your talk. In other words, I used to say, well, if the Lord ever touched Jonathan, if Jonathan, one day the Lord spoke to me and said, quit saying if and say when. Start saying when as though you're expecting it to happen. And no matter what we saw happening, Robbie, who's behind one of our cameras here, he knows the whole story. No matter what we saw happening, I would start saying, but boy, when he gets touched, when. And it wasn't but a short time later, our breakthrough came. Praise the Lord for that. And number seven, I want to say this to all you parents. One of the greatest things you can do for an unsaved child is love them unconditionally, no matter what shape they get into. They may go into an alternative lifestyle. They may be in prison right now. They may do things that, your family name is in the paper, but you look at them and say, I love you unconditionally. I can remember a time again when my son was so addicted. He'd look at me and cuss me out, and I'd say, that's not my boy talking. That's some spirit, and I bind that thing. Now let me talk to my boy. And he would just look at me and glare at me when I would do that, because people can be controlled by spirits, you see, like we taught last week. But I want you to really receive this word and take those principles. But the biggest thing is they have to continue to feel love. They have to feel like that you really care about them, that you, and don't fake some because, well, yeah, I love you, I love you. Don't do that. You know, people can tell when it's real or not. But always love them unconditionally, because you never know when they're going to really need you to express the real love that you have for them when they get into a situation. But I do believe it is the will of God that you and your entire house, Acts chapter 16, be saved. I believe it's the will of God for your family to have entire Holy Spirit infilling to take place. And there's nothing like a godly family that gets together during the special holiday seasons or gets together during family reunions. And we're talking about the Lord. We're talking about the goodness of God. So we're going to come into agreement with you that your entire house is going to come to know the Lord, and that your entire house is going to be saved. So take these principles and use them, because I'll tell you, This is not just a message from Israel. This stuff works, okay? So coming to you from Israel, I have a special offer. And don't go away, because I've got something to share with you at the end of the program.
Many have asked for it, and here it is. Globally recognized as a leading Bible teacher, Perry Stone has recorded vitally important teachings in his series, The History of the Bible. With 11 teachings, this 4-DVD set will teach you how 40 men received the revelation found in the Bible. Perry will discuss topics such as, have the scriptures been altered throughout history? What 7 ancient methods did God provide to bring His word to mankind? Did you know the Bible quotes from the books of Enoch, Jasher, and the Assumption of Moses? Perry also explains why the Bible is set apart from all other religious books worldwide, how the Bible was received, recorded, and translated. He also discusses the various translations, the rabbinical and Christian methods of interpretation, and 8 literary styles found in Scripture. Details of how numerous prophecies prove the Bible is inspired, including medical and scientific facts. The missing books that are named in Scripture, The War of the Lords, Jasher, and the Book of Jehu. Why Catholics accept the 14 books of the Apocrypha, but most Protestants reject them. Many strange idioms and expressions that you need to understand. Why the Torah was dictated directly from God's mouth to Moses' hand. Rules to know when reading and interpreting the Book of Revelation and other apocalyptic scriptures. How amazing archaeological discoveries in Israel have confirmed the Bible is true. How the early pilgrims used the Geneva Bible due to their conflict with England. Perry will also reveal his personal methods of studying the Bible when he writes his books, prepares his sermons, and the Bible translations you can trust. The 4 DVDs, over 6 hours of teaching, are available for a limited time for a special price of just $65. Call us toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or order online at perrystone.org. This package is also available as video on demand from our website. Additionally, you can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and enclose your gift of $65 or more. To request package offer HB-148. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Give me your attention now for the next few moments, about 2.5 minutes. By the way, this is not my house. This is a screen with different pictures behind it, just so you'll know. Now, I want to say up front, next week, we're going to be showing you some things and sharing with you some brand new things that are happening that I think a lot of you are going to be very excited about along with us. Before I get to my main point, let me just remind you, the Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International begins on Wednesday night, all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then one service on Sunday morning, and then I will do a book signing afterwards. And that will be in Cleveland, Tennessee, so make plans to attend. It's beginning to fill up. We don't have a lot of availability. No fee to attend, but you have to register to be able to get the armband to enter in. Then on May 4th, I'm going to come to King's Chapel in Dallas, Texas, Dr. James Morocco's church, all day Sunday. And that's information is on my website at perrystone.org. June 4, 5, 6, 7th, and 8th, I'm coming to Saldanha, Alaska with our dear friend Sherry Morris. And Pam and I and Amanda are going to be coming up there. So all you folks in Alaska, get your friends and neighbors, in-laws and outlaws, I always like to say that, ready to come out and be a part of this great camp meeting, this great event that we're having there. And then June 20, 21, and 22, a dear friend, Pastor Ed King, Redemption Church, Knoxville, Tennessee, will be there for the entire weekend. We're looking forward to coming back to that area with some wonderful, wonderful, hundreds of wonderful friends that we have there. Now, let me just say something to you very, very, very quickly. Number one is this, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. There's only one. There's sometimes people that try to pose as us. We're able to take them down. Number two is our YouTube channel. There is only one Perry Stone YouTube channel, and we're having to contact YouTube headquarters to take a lot of these other people down who are posing as us. You know, you got to understand something. Our copy material, our sermons and everything are copywritten through a voice of evangelism, so people can't just take those and do whatever they want with them. And we do that for protection so that people won't have me saying things I never said. And then the other thing is we want you to be aware of the fact that we're coming to a lot of different places, and we add places after you've seen where we're coming from. So we suggest that you go to perrystone.org, look up the itinerary to see where we are going to be, because sometimes we'll add a meeting a week before we actually go there. So keep up with us that way and keep praying for us. Pam is doing good from her surgery, and we thank all of you who've been praying for her. See you next week.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.